Hi, I'm Daniel Lenzian, host of Western New York Soundstage, from Buffalo Rising and Local Matters Studios. Western New York Soundstage is a podcast that looks to explore Western New York's creative economy through a series of conversations with artists, musicians, producers, directors, and authors from Western New York and beyond. On today's episode, I speak with Chris J. Hanley, Executive Artistic Director of Alleyway Theater, about their upcoming production of Buffalo Quickies that runs March 15th through March 30th. Buffalo Quickies is directed by Kate Powers and features plays written by Annette Daniels-Taylor, Mark Humphrey, Justin Karcher, and Bella Poynton. This is my third interview with Chris, and this episode has become an annual event. And full disclosure, I am listed as an Alleyway instigator or associate artist and directed the folks at home at the theater earlier this year. It's always great to talk to Chris. To get tickets to Buffalo Quickies, go to alleyway.com. Here's my interview with Chris. Chris J. Hanley, thank you so much for chatting with me today. How are you?
Dan, I am so great. It's so nice to be here and to see you and to be here.
Thank you. It is nice to be here. You know, Chris, I was thinking of you last night because I've left our beloved city for the week to see my parents, and they live right outside of New York City. And I went and I saw Days of Wine and Roses and Tommy. And I was thinking about Alleyway Theater the whole time because Days of Wine and Roses is such an interesting piece because it's a very difficult story about a relationship and alcoholism, but the music is so kind of different and experimental and really asks a lot of the audience. I wouldn't say, and I think that people would agree with me, that there's not a song in Days of Wine and Roses where you go, man, that's a toe-tapping hit. I really can't wait to sing that when I leave. But the play hit me really deeply emotionally and just really, and I was there with my father and we kind of talked about like what the play was trying to do and how it was trying to make us think or how it was trying to make us really feel, which I think it was very, you know, successful at. And then at the beginning of Tommy, what was so interesting was Des McAnuff came out on stage and said, "Hey, everybody, just so you know, this is a preview. We've been in rehearsals all day. And so tonight we may have to stop or shift things or kind of move things around just because it's a preview." And the production of Tommy really was experimental in the way that it
just completely shifted what the play was the last time we saw it to now. It's almost as if it's a new play. And I thought to myself, wow, this is so funny. I've literally made that speech myself at the Alleyway Theater. So I just wanted to sort of share that with you and saying that I feel like what I'm even seeing on the main stem is kind of aligning with what you're doing. How do you feel about that?
I mean, it makes me feel great. I think it's so interesting to hear that. I love that Des is saying, you know, that to the Broadway audiences, right? Like, here's this play that's been around for, what is Tommy, 40 years old or
at least, yeah.
And bear with us in case something goes wrong today, or because we've been working on it and reworking things, and you're seeing it for the first time. And then with Days of Wine and Roses, I mean, that's it's great that that play, I'm so sad that it's closing early. It's great to see that that play was produced and that it's challenging audiences, and that that sort of challenging topic, but also challenging like music is being produced, and that people are willing to give that a shot and to put money into that and to produce that sort of thing. And that it's not all 42nd Street toe tapping.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think there's a place for that, right? I'm not a monster. I like toe tapping music, but
I do too. I love it. I wish I could. I wish I could tap dance.
But you know, sometimes like things can expand beyond that. Well, Days of Wine and Roses, and this is the last we'll kind of talk about sort of theater outside of the Buffalo area, but started at the Atlantic Theater Company, which was a smaller space. The Alleyway has done something different, sort of similar this year, with the Life and Slimes of Mark Summers. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, we produced it here at the Alleyway last September. And directly because of that production, Life and Slimes is now off Broadway in New York, running for 16 weeks because it was produced here at the Alleyway, because producers and directors flew into town to see it here, to see this pre-New York production. And then one of the producers in New York picked it up and said, "Yes, we love this and we want to bring this production to New York, and they included the same production team that we had. They stole our stage manager to New York, and we're thrilled about it. And that's the sort of, I mean, what a highlight for this year for the Alleyway, that we're putting our money where our mouth is, or we're putting our, like what we say, right, is that we're producing plays that are going to be American theater of tomorrow. We're doing it today, and that's exactly what happened.
I love that. You know, this is kind of like our yearly sort of check-in podcast. It's amazing to think that kind of started, this is our third time speaking. So it's almost, we're in our third year, headed into our third year of this podcast, which is so exciting. And I think the Alleyway was in such a different place, both, you know, physically and maybe, I don't know, metaphysically 3 years ago. Can you talk to us about maybe some of the new and exciting changes that have been happening this year at Alleyway? I think that what's exciting about the space is that it's always kind of growing and shifting and changing. I think that when I think back to 3 years ago, which feels like a very long time ago, but really ultimately, you know, 2 years is not really that long, right? Like you started with Red Rabbit, which was one person on a singular stage. You know, there were questions around COVID, questions around this. There are still questions around these things, but it feels like there's been a major shift kind of, or a shift to sort of really refine what the programming is. And there's been a shift to maybe refine kind of what the space is or what it does. The cabaret, I think, was also redesigned in the last couple of years. Is that correct?
Yeah. When COVID, so yesterday, I think, was like the fourth anniversary of the COVID shutdown, right? So at that time, we were in rehearsal for Buffalo Quickies, and we had to stop it and put it up on YouTube. And so that happened 4 years ago. And at that time, we were programming the next season, and I had wanted to put Quickies into the cabaret just to test it and see what that would be like, because I want to utilize that space. And so obviously that didn't happen because of the shutdown, but we rearranged the theater, we revamped the cabaret space, and have now seen a couple of productions in there that are sort of fully designed to utilize that space in a way that it's never been done before. And then part of that is this production of Quickies that's happening. And then we did in terms of our programming, we're really starting to see the fruition of the Alleyworks program, which is the development series. At Christmas time, did a workshop of Charmaine Chi's musical called Blue Christmas, which is a raunchy Christmas fun time. And that used the space also in a way that it had never been done before. And so we're seeing these productions develop themselves, develop the script of it and develop the artist, but also to use the space in ways that it hasn't been done before. You know, when we're working on new plays, it's like, how it's not only doing a new play, but how can you challenge the form of the writing of it, I think is interesting. And so also, how can you challenge the form of the design? How can we continue to bring new things to the Alleyway that people haven't seen before, rather than recycling things that we know work? It's challenging. From what I love and what I hate is that I am I'm never satisfied, right? And so I always want to try to find a new way of doing things. So Quickies is a great example, because since I have since over the last 4 years since I've been working here, we've never done it the same way. This year is no different. We're bringing in four plays with four writers, so that instead of maybe six or eight like we would usually have, so the plays are a little bit longer. We're giving the writers more space to write and to tell their story, rather than trying to tell a full story in 10 minutes.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about this year and the kind of plays that are being presented, and maybe the choices around how did you find the writers that are writing this year's Quickies?
Yeah, so we have four writers this year. They're all from Western New York. And we this year selected writers who we have worked with in the past and we know their work, and we sort of commissioned them to create original plays based on the topic of the simple topic of Buffalo right here, right now. What's happening? And what does that mean to them? So always whenever we give a topic, we receive plays back that are wildly different than I had ever anticipated. When you say Buffalo right here, right now, everybody in this town has a different story, right? And so it's not necessarily, you know, we don't have four plays about snowstorms, right? Because people are just living their lives. And so the plays that are happening encompass sort of all of that. So we have four plays. Bella Poynton's play is Mergers and Impositions, which is this sort of tale about the closing of Madai in a fictionalized way, right? So it's not the news report of that, but it's what happens when things go wrong at a university and how does that affect the people involved in a really lovely way. So that's what I like about this year, is that it's not just short one-off joke plays, right? This is a full story about these people's lives. Mark Humphrey wrote a play called Cause Effect, which is about the butterfly effect and what that does to everybody, what happens if one thing changes. And of course, there's a little bit of Buffalo Bills love in that. Annette Daniels Taylor wrote a beautiful play called Remember, which is about dementia and about living with, you know, mom and daughter and how we deal with our parents aging and what that means and how it's affecting all of us. And then Justin Karcher, who is sort of I think somebody called him the poet laureate of Buffalo, unofficially. He writes these beautiful love letters to the city. And so he has a play called The Buffalo Bills Need Our Help, which takes place at the stadium on the day of the Chiefs game. There are four different stories that are, again, all about what's happening right now, but all very different. And it makes for a great night of theater. I was at the theater last night until midnight in rehearsal, and I had a great time watching them. I think you're gonna too.
Fantastic. I love that all these plays are kind of engaging with different conversations. And I feel like the season at Alleyway has really just been engaging in a lot of conversations. What are the conversations, or what kind of conversations excite you about the plays at Alleyway?
I love to make people think. I love a challenge. I keep saying that's the word, I guess, for today is challenge. But I want people to walk out of the theater, whether it's a toe tapping show or whether it's a show that is something that is a topic that you haven't engaged with before, or is maybe hard to engage with, right? This story of dementia can be very hard to engage with, but it makes you walk out and have a conversation with your neighbor, right? And so I'm trying to find plays as we select this season, as I'm in the throes of selecting next season, what are the plays that are varied and topical and fresh and new in some way, and tell stories that are fun for me to watch and hear, and also things that maybe are outside of my wheelhouse, right? So that I'm not only choosing plays that I love, but plays that other people will find exciting. So, you know, so that's from The Life and Slimes, which was this 90s throwback, right? Which is so much fun. And you get to play a game show on stage, but also a look into what it's like to live with OCD and how that affects people. To Dan, I mean, the play that you directed challenges us to think about family, right? And what it's like, and what does a space mean, and what does a home mean? I think also that's something for me. What is home, and how does relationship work? And home can be so many things to so many people. And I find the plays that I'm interested in are about that. It's about growing up. It's about finding out who we are and discovering yourself in a certain way. That's what life is, right? And we're all struggling with it and trying to figure out how to get through every crazy day. And that's the joy of theater for me, right? It both holds up a mirror to our lives, but also invites us to look to like climb into that mirror and see somebody else's life and see what else could be happening.
I love that. You know, it's interesting. A number of years ago, I taught a survey class in dramatic literature on kind of the general idea of like the American family and the American family play, right? But that sort of is so widespread. That includes like Long Day's Journey Into Night and Fences and you know Lydia Diamond's Stickfly, and the list goes on. And A Fun Home, right? Like all of these kind of plays that we now sort of consider canonical, that kind of really just sort of the idea of just a season or presenting or exploring, for me, like the American family and what that means, or even like just the idea of the word home, can be so provocative and really kind of open up so many pathways and doorways to different works or writings or stuff like that. I think that that's just so cool and so beautiful that you've hit on something that I can see throughout kind of all the plays done at Alleyway, right? From Berserker to Oregon Trail to Folks at Home to Natural Horse to even, The Life in Slimes, all kind of have this in it. And the plays for Quickies this year also feel like they have an aspect of that, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, yes, and just aside from being set here, right? It's about, again, it's about that relationship, I think, between people, and how do we communicate? How do we talk to each other? How do we say the hard things?
Well, speaking of saying the hard things, I always love to ask this question to you. Your email's in the playbill, and people will send you emails, right? What have you learned from the emails that you receive from patrons of Alleyway?
Everybody has an opinion, and I am grateful to hear those opinions. And often everybody's are wildly different, right? And so it's really, I think, it's me not being able to anticipate people's responses. So it's the same as when I give this prompt to the playwrights, tell me about Buffalo right here, right now. I'm getting wildly different views of that. The same is true of our audiences who see these plays and are affected in wildly different ways. And some people love them and some people hate them. And I want that information. I'm really excited by that, to see that there's conversations happening. And that's the goal. Like I said before, I want people to think. I want people to have a conversation when they go out. And when you see a play, you don't necessarily have to love it and make it feel like a piece of entertainment for you, right? That Chris's job is to sing and dance in front of me and make me laugh or make me cry, or it's really to poke at you and let you think about things and let you, right? Let's take theater to a level where it is making us think, it is challenging us. And so anyway, that's what I'm seeing from our audiences, is that they are thinking about it and they are being affected by it in an exciting way, that sometimes they are not in love with what we do, but they write to me and tell me why. And hearing the why is great, because then I can understand that. When we did the Quickies outdoors, just as COVID was, we were the first theater to come back in person in the district, and we did all of the Quickies in storefront windows. The things that playwrights were writing about at that time were sort of sad stories, and the response that we received from our audience was, these stories are so sad and we're in a sad place, and so we want something happier. And so the next year we brought Quickies was an all comedy edition. And I think sort of the same will come next year, as we see some more comedies coming into the season, to sort of respond to what our audiences are telling us.
It's interesting though too, right, to even invite emails and then receive them, because I think so often, right, like we live in a world of entertainment, right, where I can watch, videos on my phone or whatever, or I can, listen to a silly podcast that kind of entertains me for the moment. And again, I am not anti-entertainment, but I'll sort of go, oh, okay, look, I can watch an hour of short videos and not remember a single one, or not feel compelled to kind of comment on them at all. So I think it's kind of amazing that in that same sort of hour, people do feel compelled to share something, whether good, bad, or indifferent. I think that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I also love to veg out and sit on the couch and watch things that distract me, right? But it is great, and it's part of, like we say at the Alleyways, the audience is the final crucial ingredient in making a new play. And so the audience response matters so much. It's different than seeing a play that has already been produced 100 times, because that play is now frozen, right? It's published, it's going to be presented the same way every time. But what you're seeing here are playwrights working out their art, and the theater is one of these arts that are not, that demand a response from the audience, right? They demand, we're all sitting there, and so something's going to happen. The audience is going to laugh or cry or be silent or stand up and cheer. And so the response coming back from the audience helps the playwright to develop that work more strongly. And it matters. You are part of the conversation. It's not lip service at all in any way. We take all of the comments back. We do surveys all of the time and share this information so that the play gets stronger. We are the, you know, we're R&D of theater. We're researching and developing plays, and so we need that feedback. And it's great when it happens. I love it. I wish every audience member would take me up on it.
Yeah. It's interesting too, to even think like that, you know, apocryphally, like after the first performance of A Doll's House, which was on Broadway last year with Jessica Chastain, right? The first performance of that, there was like a riot. Or I believe Waiting for Godot, we know, which was done in Buffalo a couple of seasons ago, like that was not a hit the first time it was performed. It took people a second to kind of watch it and kind of settle in with it. So I think it's really fascinating to be in the R&D section of theater where you are finding these things, you are bringing them ahead, and you are starting a conversation around things that, you know, may be new or different or fun or challenging. So I always like to ask you this. You know, last year I said, you know, what are your hopes and dreams for the future? I always like to ask, and you said that something around last year that you hope to kind of bring things to the national scale, right? There wasn't a direct quote that I could pull from that, because we sort of chit-chatted about it and laughed for a second, but you said you did want to pull things to the national scale, and that has happened with the Life and Slams of Mark Summers and other things that the Alleyway is doing. What are your hopes for the future now, right? If you had an ideal next year, I guess in what, 2025, when we're sitting and having this conversation, what do you hope that we're talking about?
I think a couple of things. I'm interested in, obviously, maybe not obviously, but continuing this growth to the national scale and continuing to shine a light on not just Alleyway, but our city and what we're doing here. Because there's so much incredible stuff happening in Western New York. And so how can we tell the world about what's happening here? I think that could happen in terms of the stories, the storytelling, the stories that we are putting up, or the playwrights that we are sort of supporting and giving opportunities to. We're looking next season at expanding the Alleyworks program in a way that will support, that gives another option of support to local playwrights. We're hoping to, well, there's a secret, but I'm hoping to, you know, again, grow the national spotlight here. And then I think that there's like, how do we continue to do things in a new way? What's the new form? How do we challenge ourselves to not just put a play up on a proscenium stage in front of an audience? Is there something that we can do to make you surprised when you come into the building, or when you see a play of ours that maybe not be in the building, right? What's the possibilities? What are the possibilities? How do we keep pushing forward, challenging things so that it's a surprise? I don't want you to, you know, our season ticket packages are called like the Adventurer and the Explorer package, right? I don't want you to know what you're going to see when you come here. I want you to be surprised by everything that we do.
Fantastic. Thank you. Besides Alleyway Quickies, you have one more show in your season this year. Can you tell us a little bit about that show?
Yeah, we had to sadly postpone the musical that we had announced, which that's how theater works. We had to postpone it, but we are replacing it with the wildly hilarious play, sort of about home in a way, I think in a real way. It's called Death of a Streetcar Named Virginia Woolf by Tim Sniffen. Kevin Leary is directing. And it's what happens when you take these characters who we all know, right? Willie Loman and Stanley Kowalski and Blanche DuBois and Georgia Martha from Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. And they're all sort of, the host of the evening is the narrator from our town. And all of these characters get put into a room and they have to deal with each other. And it's hilarious. It's a wild comedy. Lots of winking at every trope of modern drama. If you know the plays, if you're a lover of theater and you know all of these plays, you're going to find lots and lots of inside jokes. If you don't know these plays, you're going to love it anyway and see how these characters interact and the crazy things that happen. And we've got a wildly terrific cast. I'm so excited. I think it's going to be a great time.
Fantastic. Well, Chris, those are my questions. But before we go, is there anything that you want to add or anything like to share with our listeners?
I want to say thanks for supporting this podcast. Thanks for supporting you. Dan, I love this podcast so much. I love listening to you, and I love that that it is here and that we in Western New York have the opportunity to listen to you chat with folks and hear what's going on. So keep listening to Dan. Come to the alleyway, check us out, and keep supporting the theater.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Chris, it was great chatting with you today. I will see you soon.
Thanks, Dan. Always a pleasure.
It's always great to talk to Chris Hanley. Tickets for Buffalo Quickies and Death of a Streetcar Named Virginia Woolf are available at alleyway.com. This episode was produced by Jessica Marinelli. Addison Schoonmaker engineered this episode. In addition to this podcast, you can check out our local event guides posted bi-monthly on buffalorising.com. Make sure you subscribe to the show. If you like the show, please recommend it to a friend. Thanks for listening to Western New York Soundstage from Buffalo Rising and Local Matters Studios.